So if anybody needs a title to the message, Miss Katie, it is The Joy of Marriage. And I just wanted to take this opportunity. Pastor Art and I celebrated our 28th anniversary yesterday. And I just want you to know, in case you didn't already figure it out, he's a really awesome husband. I think he's the best one in the world, but I know some of you would differ on that, and that's all right. We're all right. You know, we're all right. Our own husband, our own wife is the best. Should be, you know. So I just wanted to take some time today to just share some things that I just feel like we need to know that we know that we know that we don't know everything, okay? We've been married 28 years, and we are still learning about marriage. We're learning how to be a better wife, how to be a better husband. Never stop learning, folks. I want to start reading this morning. We're just going to read one verse to start with, and that's in Ecclesiastes 4, verse 12. And she's got it up there for me. Thank you, thank you. And I can read it off the, can I read it off the wall? Okay. A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. This verse is used a lot when talking about marriage because we know that a marriage is between two people, a man and a woman. That's how God made it. But if you want to be guaranteed that your marriage will work, and that it will be blessed, and that you will have a joy-filled life till death do you part, there must be a third person in the center of it, and it is God. God makes all the difference in the world in a marriage, because if we're looking to Him and we're trusting Him, even when we fail each other, He always has a plan. Okay? So, young people who are not married yet, or singles out there, and you would like to be married, it is of utmost importance that the person you choose to spend the rest of your life with is in love with God. Now, I know there may be some of us who are married now, or have been married in the past, and we were unequally yoked, or maybe we were in the same boat, didn't know God, and things didn't work out, and divorce happened. It happens, and God can, He can fix and redeem us in that, okay? But I just want to make that so clear to singles. Now is the time that you have the power and the choice to make the right choice, okay? And don't think that you will marry them and change them. Whoa, that is so not a guarantee. It might happen, but it probably won't. So just keep that in mind, okay? Three cord strand is not easily broken. How many of you here, you're married, you're Christians, you're both Christians, but boy, sometimes it's like, the question has always been, actually Justin asked me this the other day, he said, he didn't really ask a question, he made a statement. He said, if you and Dad ever talk about getting a divorce, he said, I'm going to put you both in a room and lock you in, and you're not going to do it. I mean, he was, evidently a friend at school is dealing with this right now. And, you know, it's just breaking his heart, scaring him, everything else. But I told him, like Art and I have told people over the last 28 years, divorce is not an option for us. We've thought about murder a time or two. But never divorce. So we don't recommend that either. And again, when God's in the middle of it, that is a fainting thought and a fleeing thought. Praise the Lord. But never, never. You know, you just want that in your mind before you ever go into marriage, that divorce will not be an option. Because God knows the pain that divorce causes. It causes to the wife, the husband, and if there are children involved, it hurts them too, okay? Again, I know God has redeemed and healed a lot of things, even in our own body, you know, here at the church, because of just unfortunate things that happened in the past, and those are in the past, okay? So we're going to talk today more about what's it like to have a good marriage. What's it like to let God lead our marriages? So now we're going to go to Ephesians 5, and we're going to read the whole chapter. Hopefully I'll be able to find it faster than I did. Ecclesiastes. And I do want to do one more disclaimer. If you're here and you're single and you're happy being single, praise God. You're married to Jesus. He's the only one you have to focus on. Paul said that's great. That's great if you can just focus all your efforts on the Lord and his work for you. That's great. But if you have a desire to be married or you are married, it is a good thing. Marriage is a good thing. Our society, more and more and more, we see people who live together and they don't even want to get married, because they've either been through a bad marriage or they've seen a bad marriage and the commitment is too scary. But again, when God is in the center of your relationship, there is nothing to be afraid of. It is a beautiful, beautiful thing. So let's start reading in Ephesians 5. Follow God's example in everything you do, because you are his dear children. Live a life filled with the love for others, following the example of Christ, who loved you and gave himself as a sacrifice to take away your sins. And God was pleased because that sacrifice was like sweet perfume to him. Let there be no sexual immorality, impurity, or greed among you. Such sins have no place among God's people. Obscene stories, foolish talk, and coarse jokes, these are not for you. Instead, let there be thankfulness to God. You can be sure that no immoral, impure, or greedy person will inherit the kingdom of Christ and of God. For a greedy person is really an idolater who worships the things of this world. Don't be fooled by those who try to excuse these sins, for the terrible anger of God comes upon all those who disobey him. Don't participate in the things these people do. For though your hearts were once full of darkness, now you are full of light from the Lord, and your behavior should now show it. For this light within you produces only what is good and right and true. Try to find out what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the worthless deeds of evil and darkness. Instead, rebuke and expose them. It is shameful even to talk about the things that ungodly people do in secret. But when the light shines on them, it becomes clear how evil the things are. And where your light shines, it will expose their evil deeds. This is why it is said, "Awake, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will give you light." So be careful how you live, not as fools, but as those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity for doing good in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but try to understand what the Lord wants you to do. Don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Instead, let the Holy Spirit fill and control you. Then you will sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, making music to the Lord in your hearts, and you will always give thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And further, you will submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. You wives will submit to your husbands as you do to the Lord. For a husband is the head of his wife, as Christ is head of his body, the church. I'm sorry. He gave his life to be her savior. As the church submits to Christ, so you wives must submit to your husbands in everything. And you husbands must love your wives with the same love Christ showed the church. He gave up his life for her to make her holy and clean, washed by baptism and God's word. He did this to present her to himself as a glorious church without spot or wrinkle or any other blemish. Instead, she will be holy and without fault. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as they love their own bodies. For a man is actually loving himself when he loves his wife. No one hates his own body, but lovingly cares for it, just as Christ cares for his body, which is the church. And we are his body. As the scriptures say, a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and the two are united into one. This is a great mystery, but it is an illustration of the way Christ and the church are one. So again I say, each man must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. So y'all heard all that, right? That was directly given to us. Men, I know you love your wives. Make sure she knows it by the way you treat her. Make sure that there is never a doubt in her mind that she is the only one for you. Here in the last few weeks of actually marriage teaching that I've been listening to, and I'll get my notes all mixed up here because I'm like, oh, I wanted to say that here and I wanted to say that here, so but I'm going to say it now. The whole continuing to learn about marriage is so important, and there are such good resources. If you have satellite or cable, Daystar Network, I highly recommend Marriage Today with Jimmy and Karen Evans. He's a pastor. He pastored a big church for a long time, but maybe for the last 20 years, they have been focused in on marriage, and really their desire is to see marriage, true marriage, restored in the United States. But wonderful, spirit-filled Bible teaching. So you can see it on TV through preaching. There are a lot of good books. But anyway, we'll get to those later. But so here recently in some of his teachings, he's just been really focusing on, and now girls, you might be like, I don't get that, but yet, I don't know. Maybe you will. It totally struck a chord with me. But a woman's number one need is security. And that can be financial, but, you know, you might make your own money. You may make more money than your husband, you know. So you're like, well, that's really not what I need from him. But how many of you feel safer at home when your husband's at home? I totally know this is why I fall asleep at night at 8 o'clock on the couch, because he's there. I've never, even when he's traveled, I've never been afraid. I've never been like, ooh, you know, I don't want to be here. But I can stay awake. I stay awake till 11, 12 o'clock at night when he's gone. I get a lot done. And I'm amazed. I'm like, I'm awake. I am conscious. This is amazing. But the Lord pointed it out to me a few years ago because I was like, I feel so bad. Poor Art. When he's here, I fall asleep. He must just think, what is her deal? You know, what, how unsocial of her, you know, that kind of thing. And I was like, honey, I figured it out though. When you're here, all my alerts, alarms, anything, they go off. And then I just zonk out. You know, so I'm sorry. I really am. I'm trying to drink coffee actually a little later at night so I can stay up. But anyway, he pointed out how I slept through the movie last night too. But it was, you know, we'd had a big day too. right? Sort of. Okay, so anyway, on to the next thing. But the security thing. So maybe that makes you just feel secure, just having him with you, you know, or when you go out, you just feel good when you're with him because he makes you feel secure. Men, your words to her can either make her feel secure or very insecure. This actually came to me while I was showering this morning to mention this. And this is going to sound a little hard, but let the Holy Spirit, you know, do in you with it what you will. This might just be me, okay? This might just be Angela. So if you're in the practice of mentioning every beautiful woman that you see and calling her hot, and you're married, please stop it, okay? I know, it's a thing to say, oh, she, you know, she is beautiful. Justin, you know, of course, they say, you know, so-and-so's hot, so, and I've started talking to him even now. I said, honey, I said, I know you mean that as a compliment. I know that what you're really saying is she's beautiful, you're attracted to her. I said, but there's a connotation to that. That, number one, you don't need to be saying, and your friends don't need to be, you know, three of you see a girl go by and go, hey, you're hot. She's going to feel uncomfortable deep down inside, you know. So, but guys, okay, for your wife's sake, for her sense of security in herself, don't call her hot. I don't mind it when Art, and Art does not say that. He'll make mention if somebody's really pretty. Oh, she's really a beautiful person. Does not bother me. That doesn't bother me. Number one, because he tells me like 100 times more that I'm beautiful, that I'm the most beautiful woman to him, you know. But that hot thing, leave that for your wife. Your wife is hot, smoking hot. You can tell her that probably countless times a day, and she'll love it. But leave that for her. Let her be your hottie, okay? So, like I say, take that, whatever, you know, don't. And, you know, if you're like, oh, crap, I just did that last night. Don't worry about it. That last night was last night, you know, just let it go. We owe for what we know. I've heard that before, right? So when we don't know something, you know, God's like, he just wants us to know more. He just wants to show us more so that we can have more in this life and in our marriage. Okay, so kind of gave you an idea of some of the things that make us girls feel secure, right? So just keep that in your mind. Women, a man's number one need. I'm going to see if somebody's going to guess it. Go ahead. Okay, they're whispering, so you actually are thinking of number two. Number one is respect. Number one is respect. Following in a close second is sex, okay? So you are right. But respect means everything to them. If they are going through a time in their life when they're struggling with something, and they sense that you aren't on board with them to pray with them, to help them. You know, if you're struggling at the moment financially, that can be a real hit to men. And girls, we have got to just reiterate to them, I believe in you. There is no one else I would rather be with. I feel safe with you. And I know we're going to overcome this. We'll get through this. I believe in you. And boy, I know we've gone through times. And don't you know it, when we're going through those tough times, we turn against each other. And I've said things that I'm sure made him not feel respected. You know? And I regret it so much. But respect is the greatest thing we can give our guys. So encourage him. You know, just like we love to hear that you're beautiful. Oh, supper was delicious. Thank you so much. You know, that outfit looks really good on you. We love to hear those things. Our men like to hear things too. And, you know, maybe another way that we respect them is to make sure, you know, if we're the one that's the main cook, that kind of thing, that we make sure we're kind of planning out a meal here and there, at least, you know, and know he's going to be coming home tired. Is it ready for him to eat? Now, maybe you girls have husbands who are the cooks. Woo, woo, you go, girls. You know, but my husband does cook from time to time, which is awesome. But I'm just saying there's ways we can do our actions show it, our words say it. And here's a huge temptation. Why, when we're with our girlfriends, you know, our other female friends, why do we then decide to complain about our husbands? And sometimes, I get it, sometimes you just need to vent a little bit and everything. Talk about situations. Don't you tear down your man's character in front of anyone else. Honestly, the only one you need to, if you've got some question about his character or him, the only one you're allowed to talk to is God. Now, if you are in a situation where things are just bad at the tipping point, you need a human to talk to. Pastor Art and I are more than happy to talk with you, and it will not go any further. We're going to take it straight to God. It's going to be between us and God, okay? But that's the only person that I would suggest, you know. If you went to a marriage counselor or something like that, you know, and it was a two-way thing, you know, that you're both going, you're getting help. But as far as tearing down, you know, I've heard people talk about someone they were married to, and they're like, you know, they're just not that smart. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Don't talk about your spouse like that, okay? And again, like we said about the whole hot thing and all that, if you just did it this morning, called him an idiot or something, there is grace. Ask forgiveness. Move on. But I think what God wants us to start doing, if we haven't been, is to start cherishing our spouse, realizing they are valuable. There is no one that can take his place. There is no one else that can take his place. I know there is no one else on earth that could take Miss Brenda's place for you, Mr. Pat, is there? There's no one else. There's no one else for you. If you are married, that beautiful woman next to you, that handsome man beside you, they are yours. Treat them just like the scripture said about how a man treats his body, takes care of his body. Take care of that wife. Take care of that husband. Precious, precious. Never put your marriage on autopilot. If you have been married for more than 1 year, you can pretty much be sure that you've put your marriage on autopilot in one area or another. This must stop, and we must pay attention. We must pay attention to this relationship more than anything else on this earth. Because if we'll pay attention to our marriage, our kids benefit from it. I totally understand you young mothers. I understand when babies come along and you are tired. And you're not just tired because of lack of sleep at night and stuff, but I noticed this kind of really, I didn't really realize it was happening when I was, you know, bringing up our boys, but I noticed it when I was watching Carter. Man, so fun. Love him. And, you know, you're watching a baby. How hard is that? You know, it's fun. but you pour so much of your heart into them. It is literal ministry. You know, when Pastor Art and I go home from church on Sundays, we have to get a nap because we're just, it's like the anointing lifts and we're just like, you know, we're just tired. And I get it, girls. I totally get it. And it like I say, it made so much sense to me because, and I was sleeping full nights. Poor Tony, you know, I know I'm with you, baby. I was there at one time in life, but you know, when you're caring for children, you pour so much love. Men, please be patient with your wives during this time in your life. Be patient with her. See whatever you can do to help her. She needs you big time right now. And she's going to take care of a lot of things for you because we women are naturally, almost every woman is a natural nurturer. We want to help. We want to serve. We want to do this for you. We want to take care of that for you and everything. But man, it can get very, very tiring. But girls, I'm going to stay with you here for a minute though. Our men still have that number two need. Okay, they need it, and oh, I really wondered if I should share this little tidbit that I heard, but it's good. It is good. Okay, so sex. Here's your goal, couples. Have sex as often as the one who wants it the most wants it. That's your goal. Your goal, you know, sometimes the one who doesn't want it as much is kind of like, this week could we go with the once? You know, because you're tired. I get it. All right? But that's just something. And girls, you can just be praying. Maybe in your relationship it's opposite, okay? And things happen. I know that there are times you literally, physically cannot, and that's where I go back to the men. Please be patient and cherish her. And God will see you through until she can see you through. All right? That's all I'm going to say about that. But now, girls, this is where we get to go, woohoo. Except for I can't hardly do this either because he loves to talk when he can talk. But the communication thing, it's the same thing. Talk as much as the one who wants to talk the most wants to. You know, please don't, guys, if you're not a big talker, don't go into your man cave and disappear from her. You know, she needs to talk. You're her favorite person. You're her best friend. There's stuff she just needs to talk about that, I know, it doesn't interest you. What the heck were we talking about the other day? And I could see the glaze coming over his eyes. But God bless him, you know, he let me talk. I just needed to get it out. I just had to get it out. And you want that person, you want your husband to feel like you're the one he wants to come to talk to. Because there are cute little things at work that will give him an ear to talk to. And things can happen. But, this is something that Jimmy Evans says and is very good about sex. Sex is beautiful. It was created by God for man and woman and not just for making babies. It was created, he created it because women, your husband, that is what will make him come back to you. Time and again, he's going to come back to you because of that act. And it's not just because of the physical pleasure either, which is all fine and good. Do you realize it is okay to enjoy it? It is okay. God wants that. But it is the bond and it is the tie that is made when you have sex. So I'm not giving that as an excuse for anybody to say, you know what? She just hasn't been in the mood for months. I'm out of here. Or she, you know, hasn't been in the mood for months, so I'm going to watch this and take care of things. No, don't do it. Don't do it. And if you have struggles with that, I beg you to please come see Pastor Art and I, because accountability is one of the only things that will help you break free from porn addiction, sexual addictions, things like that. Because the enemy really likes darkness. And if he can keep it in the dark, it will bind you up. But God wants to set you free and make you free. All right. That's getting heavy. I'm sorry. Let me find something else fun here. I mean, not that sex isn't fun. What was wrong with that? My husband's in on the background. He's like, yes, she just said sex is fun. Okay, so. Oh, this, and I've shared this a million times. For those of you who've been here for any length of time, you know this. You're like, yeah, Angela, you've said this a million times. But it's true. Your attentiveness and closeness to the Lord will reflect on your affection and responsiveness to your spouse, which makes sense because Jesus loves perfectly. And when we're in his presence and we're receiving his goodness and his love, it just comes out of us to love. It's what I loved about those lyrics in Hosanna that we sang this morning. You know, I want to love like you've loved me. I want to love Art the way Jesus has loved me. I want him to know that he knows that he knows. That if everybody else would turn their back on him, if his own family would excommunicate him or something crazy, you know, something weird would happen, that he's got me. That I'm never going to leave him. I'm never going to forsake him. And I show him that by the way I respond to him. All right. Opposites really do attract. Your spouse is strong in areas that you are weak, and vice versa. It is so important to celebrate our differences instead of trying to make the other person think just like we do. I shudder to think how much time we've wasted and frustration that we've tolerated over the years on useless arguments that did not benefit our marriage or our family one tiny bit. Bickering is a soul crusher for those who are participating and for every innocent bystander. At the least, your children, friends, etc., feel awkward when you're bickering. And at the worst, you are making them feel extremely insecure regarding your love for each other. And that's more for your children's sake. One, if not the greatest gifts we can give our children is to love each other well. If there has been a divorce, you can still bless your children by not running down your ex-spouse. Even if they have acted like a... Oh, I wrote this early. I couldn't read it. Now that I read, I'm like, oh, did I really write that? If they have acted like the scum of the earth to you, and maybe even to your children as well, if you can find even one good characteristic about your ex that they had and dwell on that, your children will respect you more and will feel less like they are in the middle of dad and mom's battle. So, as much as possible, you know, if you've had a friendly parting of ways and, you know, you can maintain a decent relationship, that is awesome. That is great. But, you know, if that person was just too rough, too much, you know, I'm not saying that you have to lie and say they were this or they were that. No, just... There was some reason you married him, right? Just think of something that you saw in him and go with that if necessary. But the best thing is just simply don't say the negative. Just leave it, okay? Okay, back to opposites attracting. Here are some things that Pastor Art and I are opposite on. He is very spontaneous. I like a few days to prepare. But I am so glad he is that way because he's made me way more adventurous over the years than I used to be. You know, I just, wow, I can be a real bore fest, let me tell you. My kids are on the back row, yeah, really, she is. But I can't help it. I love to relax. But anyway, number two, he easily converses at any time on a variety of subjects with anyone. It's much easier for me to talk to people I'm very familiar with, and I'm most comfortable when I get to just sit and listen and interject here or there. Sometimes it's tough for me to express my thoughts properly verbally. Have you noticed this morning? but over the years, I have grown a lot just by practicing visiting with people and stuff like that. But I found, though, that sometimes people just need a listener. So I'm not saying, see, it's just that opposite thing. He's a great visitor, talker, you know, just has a great time. I do, too. But a lot of times I just like to listen, and that's okay, too. Art is a night owl. I am a lark. I've learned not to bombard him with questions or ideas within the first hour that he is awake. Even when I might have to, you know, okay, I need to know this so I can call this person, or I need to, you know, whatever. I always say the question, or I try to. I shouldn't say always. Never say always or never, because it's not true. But I try to say, I have an idea. Do you want to hear it? Don't I? I usually say that. So if you're married to a night owl, we're just different. We're all different. So give them their space when they wake up. Give them a little time to, you know, take the morning in a little and wake up, drink a cup of coffee might be great. You know, give them that time. And then start discussing. Really, if at all possible, never wake them up with an idea, okay? Especially if it's not an emergency. If the house is on fire, wake them up for sure. But otherwise, give them a minute, all right? And so then, he's learned it's best not to bring ideas or major problems to be solved to me after supper. My brain starts shutting down about 7 p.m., and I've thrown out this disclaimer that I cannot be held responsible for what I might say after 8 p.m. I'm just done with the day. Now, again, kind of like the deal, like when he's not home and I'm awake for more hours, if we're in public, we're at a party, we're at, you know, what, church or at town or something like that, I don't become a zombie. Oh, 7 o'clock. But for some reason I can, you know, socialize and I have fun. So don't ever be afraid to invite us out at night. I don't literally cocoon up or anything. But anyway, that's another thing we can just be aware of with each other. And again, probably before you even got married, you sort of knew your tendencies on that. If you didn't, it doesn't take long into marriage to realize, you know, he's watching the late night news, you know, and I've been asleep on the couch for 3 hours. Or, you know, I'm up at 6 and, you know, he's like, I'll see you at 7:30 or 8, you know, type thing. So that's okay. That doesn't make them that doesn't make him lazy because he's not going to get up at 6 like I do. Doesn't make me lazy because summertime. It stays light out so long. And I'm free though. I'm 48 years old. Any of you larks that are younger than that, I'm going to give you permission on something. Just because it's light outside at 9 o'clock, you do not have to keep working. I many times on purpose put my pajamas on at 7 o'clock, and I'll go sit on my porch. They're public friendly pajamas, but I mean, it's my, it's my declaration, y'all. I ain't doing nothing in the garden. I'm not doing anything in the yard. I'm not doing anything in the kitchen till morning. I'm so done. So if that's at all possible, and I know like with the little kids, you don't just stop and let them go haywire. You stay up till they're ready to go to bed, but whatever. Anyway, oh, that was a rabbit trail. Okay. But anyway, be kind and patient with one another. Okay. One of Pastor and my favorite sayings is, a lasting marriage is not the result of perfect people. It is the result of two people who have learned to forgive really well. Okay? If you can forgive, if you can allow God to work in you to lay down your pride, even if you just are so sure they were wrong, if you can lay that aside and say, you know what, this is not worth losing our closeness over. This is not worth, surely not worth losing our marriage over. And just forgive them and go on. I will say throughout the years, sometimes we've literally come to each other and apologized. And sometimes we've just kept our distance for about 20 minutes. And then we come together and just act nicer to each other. We haven't said, I'm sorry, every single time. But we've agreed to be in disagreement on something. But we do come back together and assure each other of our love and that we're not holding a grudge against each other. Important. We have said and done some really rotten things to each other over the years out of moments of flesh and selfishness, but every time we knew we had to forgive each other. I can honestly say that at this very moment, there is not one thing that I am mad at Art about. If you are carrying hurt, grudge, or bitterness of any sort against your spouse, even an ex, I beg you to take some time with God and ask him to help you to forgive them. If it is your current spouse, you may just see a real change in their behavior as you release them from your bitterness. And if it still takes them some time to come around, you're going to be free. Even if it takes them some time to change and they still act like a stinker for a while, you're free. Forgiveness is about your freedom. It really, really is. And I don't want to just say that as like, you know, to heck with that person, I'm free. Because there's that attitude, though. You do have it. You have to have the attitude of, you know what? Jesus died for me. God has forgiven me of so much. He's the one that has commanded that I forgive others. And because of that, I can do it in faith. It doesn't make what that person did against you right. It doesn't excuse what they did for you. But it sets you free. And I really believe there is a spiritual significance that it sets them free to the point of God has the ability then to begin working on them and working on their heart. That's a little bit of an angelism, so I'm not saying that that's straight out of anywhere other than I've seen it work. I've seen it happen. That when I forgave someone, all of a sudden, they were willing to change. They all of a sudden changed their mind. So I just encourage you. But the biggest reason that you do it is because God asked us to. The second reason you do it is because you're going to be free to move on. Okay. What time is it? See, I can't see those big red letters in the back. I didn't wear my glasses. 12 o'clock. Oh, we're good. I just have a few more things. Kind of as a recap on the opposites attract thing. It is a very natural tendency to try to change our spouse to our way of thinking. We are two different people who think about things in different ways. Men and women think differently.
We do, right?
We do. And it does not make either one of us wrong. We just think differently. So when we come together, ooh, I've got the mic. He doesn't have much voice. I could share this. And he can correct it next week if I'm wrong. But yesterday, I kind of helped him with a construction puzzle, didn't I? Right? Okay. And it was, I know it was just the Holy Spirit, because that my mind really doesn't think that way. But we were putting a set of stairs in, and when I say we, I mean he and Justin. And they were putting a new set of stairs in. It was just getting that stringer or whatever up there at the right angle and this and that. And all I said, and again, it was the Lord, I said, do you think, and he was getting frustrated because he had done all the work behind the figuring and the this and the that and the cutting and all this. And so he's trying to figure, I said, what if, and he's like, no, I'm going to, I said, just, what's that word? Humor me. Just humor me. Just push this back this way and see if it will lift it up. Just, you know, blah, blah, blah. I didn't even know how to say it other than to, like, you know, I sound like a caveman. You know? And but he did it, and it worked. And it worked. And he was surprised himself. He said to Justin, well, what Mom actually pointed out there was right, you know? So anyway, I'm just saying, I really have a point, is that we think so differently, but if we'll come together with our minds and our spirits are open to the Holy Spirit, to our God, this is why he brings us together, is we two really are better than one. And that's what I told him. I said, that's why he made me your helpmeet. I'm just here to help. So anyway, you're not going to think this the same. You're probably never really going to figure us out, guys. We don't hardly know what we're doing. And I dare say it goes the other way too, that, you know, we were created to be either a man or a woman, and we bring both of those things to the table, and there's a beautiful, beautiful result when we work with God. All right. One other thing that I've shared probably a lot of times, at least with other women here, it never ceases to amaze me. Things that, you know, I just think it'd be easier to tell him, what do you think? I think this would be better, don't you? Or bring some sort of little correction of some sort or something. He's a humble man, that he does listen to me sometimes, and sometimes I'm wrong, or at least he thinks so, and he goes the way he wanted to go. But when there's been, you know, none of us are perfect. You know, Pastor Art isn't perfect, right? Okay, so thank you, Rob. Thank you for that. He's close, but he's just not. So when there have been times when I knew it just, he wasn't right. And it might even been just something that I just knew in my heart it wasn't going to turn out well, or it wasn't going to go well if he handled it the way he had mentioned he was going to handle it. And every time I've gone to God and prayed for my husband in something that I saw, kind of going clear back to when I said we need to respect our husband, so we don't need to be tearing him down and nagging on him all the time. You take that to God and you lift him up as your brother in the Lord. You know, there's been different times I've just said, God, I know you care for him, and I know you care for me, and you're not going to let anything happen to me. So I know you're going to fix this in his heart. And he has. And I got a feeling Art's prayed the exact same prayer for me. Because there's times that we're stuck. We're stuck in a major struggle. It's usually a time of selfishness. We all have done it. We all are there sometimes. But God hears your prayer, wife. God hears your prayer, husband. And your spouse is going to change so much faster through your prayers than they ever will with your nagging, with your verbal instruction. Art has even said it. He tries to say it nice, but he's like, you got to understand, there's a pitch to your voice. He said, when it gets to that pitch, my brain turns off. I mean, it irritates him. And rightly so. Because when I'm at that pitch, I just want my way, doggone it. And I want him to hear me. I want everybody in the house to hear me. But they don't. I mean, they hear wild, crazy mom. Nothing really from those little fit stick. And this is one last little thing. And I think Art's maybe mentioned this before, but it's wisdom. Like Caleb. Oh, I shouldn't have pointed you out, because now when I talk about this, you guys will be like, we're going to be like, oh, great, thanks. Anybody, any of you men with children, as they grow and they get a little older, and they understand the birds and the bees, and they understand monthly things that women go through. Men, let your kids know. Say, just be nice to mommy this week. He has done that for me. And for our kids, because they're like, she's crazy. What's going on? And I wasn't always like this, by the way. Gets a little weirder when you get closer to menopause, I think. But anyway, it's been long enough that the boys weren't, still at home and everything. And he'd just tell them. And I think it was for their protection more than anything. But honestly, it helps. And moms, if you happen to overhear that or something, don't get mad. Because I know, especially during that time, you're like, oh, well, let me just kill y'all now. You know? But no, I'm just kidding. I really... never plan to hurt anybody. But so if you want to help your spouse to change, pray for them like never before and ask God how you may need to change in order for things to get better. Again, husbands need, what do husbands need? Respect. Wives need security. And there's lots of other things. There's so many good books, and I'll go on to this now. We've got good books in the library, a few that deal with marriage. One of my favorites is The Five Love Languages. We've got a DVD set. Do we have a DVD set of that in the library? Good. So if you're not into reading, no problem. Watch the DVD. It's really good, and it was... there are things we give for our premarital counseling before people get married here. They have to watch that and answer questions and all that fun stuff, because it's just so good, because it just helps you love your spouse in the way that they hear it, the way that they feel it, the way that they speak it. And but my point is, there are lots of books out there. There are lots of things you can watch, listen to. I suggest you go with Christian. There's lots of wonderful Christian psychologists and so forth, and they base what they share on the Word of God. I'm sure there are some good secular people out there, but you just never know what they're basing it on. And if they're basing it on anything but the Word of God, there's just no guarantee where it'll lead you. So another good book. I'm reading it now. When I get done with it, I might have a couple more people I said I'm going to give it to. Now, I want to share this because it's funny. The name of the book is Have a New Husband by Friday. And it doesn't mean go find another husband. It's by Dr. Kevin Lehman. And I read a book of his several years ago called Have a New Kid by Friday. And I just, it did kind of grab me. And he's very funny. He's very smart. And the whole point of these books, though, this one that I'm reading right now, it has to do with, he's tricky. It really has to do with how my responses, how my actions toward art affect him. And when we are affecting our husbands and our wives correctly in godly, loving ways, they tend to have a new attitude. They tend to have a new outlook. So you'd be amazed at the power that we have on one another. So that's another good one too. All right, so Miss Carsey, I'm just going to skip to that 1 Peter 3:8-9. Or did we? Well, yeah, we are going to read that real quick. I'll read it from there. Okay. Finally, all of you should be of one mind. Sympathize with each other. Love each other as brothers and sisters. Be tender-hearted and keep a humble attitude. I believe this means between husband and wife as much as any other relationship, but it does mean brothers and sisters, all of us. Don't repay evil for evil. Don't retaliate with insults when people insult you. Instead, pay them back with a blessing. That is what God has called you to do, and He will bless you for it. Easier said than done, but it can be done, and it's worth it. It's worth it. If we do things God's way, if we bite our tongues, if we refuse to act out in the flesh, and we just draw near to Him, and we do what He's called us to do for them, I'm telling you, it just turns out better every time. So, never stop learning regarding your marriage. Do not allow yourself to go on autopilot. Keep it fresh. Do something new. Surprise her with something. Surprise him with something. Surprise him with nothing when you go to bed tonight. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. Be led by the Holy Spirit. The Lord is not a prude. He is not. He wants you to enjoy one another. And it is within marriage that He placed this special sacred gift. So don't lose out on it. All right, let's pray. You can stand if you want. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You and praise You that You created us. You created man for woman and woman for man. Lord, we thank You that You've drawn each couple together. Lord, you drew us together. We just love being in each other's presence. We love to share life together. We love our children. We love our grandchildren. Lord, You've just been so, so good to us. Help us not waste one moment in letting the enemy gain any foothold in our lives. But let us be partners in this life together and help us to glorify You in all that we do. Father God, I just bless these people today. I just ask You just to bless them all day long. Fill them with joy and strength and peace and rest. Lord, I lift up those who aren't here today because of sickness, and I ask You to just touch them right now, Holy Spirit. Let them feel Your anointing going through them. Lord, I thank You for healing and health. We receive it in Jesus' mighty name. And Lord, I thank You for going with Your people throughout this week, helping us in every task, leading us, establishing our thoughts. We love You, and we desire to be Your people. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 You are dismissed.